We are excited about the opportunity in front of our Atlanta United on Sunday. A draw or win, and we advance to the conference finals in the second leg of the playoffs, guys, here at Mercedes-Benz. It is Dukes and Bell, and joining us right now is none other than Darren Eales. He joins us, Mike, on a weekly basis. And Darren, first of all, congratulations on the first playoff win.
Yeah, afternoon, chaps. It was a little bit better than the week before.
Sure was. Hey, and right off the jump, and we asked you, and you were like at a loss for words too, as was Carlos Bocanegra about, you know, the lack of intensity. Well, there was no lack of intensity. They came out fired up, pressed, did the same thing to start the second half. It was like the energy I think all United fans were looking for, and we got it.
Yeah, it was an absolutely fantastic performance. And look, I think Tata set them up brilliantly because, you know, you could see it from the first moment. It's a terrible pitch to play on. It's a very tight postage stamp. So we were knocking the ball long when we had to. But we really did battle. And I think for me, the most impressive thing was we had the goal that was called off for video assistant review. And I think, you know, there was perhaps a tendency in the past to feel sorry for ourselves. And there was none of that. We just bounced straight back, got the goal that actually counted this time. And it was really a good performance in a really difficult place.
Right after that decision was made with the VAR, you're watching Tata, and he literally was screaming that, like, let's just keep playing, let's not get caught up in it. But let's talk about that decision and what you saw initially and then the decision that was made on the field, because I think a lot of people at home, Darren, you know, watching it here in Atlanta, we were not sure exactly what the call was or even if it was right.
Yes, I think there's two separate aspects to it. I mean, I think the first thing is it's the right call. So what happens is there's a short corner played. So Miggy plays it to Julian. And when Julian leaves the ball for Miggy to cross, Miggy's offside. It's unusual because normally on a corner, teams will defend it with a player on the post. So it's very rare to be offside from a corner kick. But if you watch New York City, they put their men about a yard off the post. So it was offside. But of course, what happens then is we have a cross. It goes to one side, goes to the other. Miggy scores. And the second point is, it's about the communication. So nobody knows what the VAR is looking at. So I think it was assumed, we assumed up in the technical box where I was watching it, that Jeff was being called offside for interference with play, which clearly he wasn't. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the problem. So everyone doesn't realize what the referee is looking at. But it was the right call. And some, you know, you win some, you lose some. We had the one against San Jose, which went from one end of the pitch to the other. But like I said, the really impressive thing for me was we had another chance when Franco nearly scored from a similar set piece. And then we get the goal when Joseph does a great great volley. And then Eric scores his first ever goal, bless him. Does his best to nearly miss it. He sort of plays a 1-2 off the post and puts it in from an inch. So it was a great goal.
It almost looked like Lorena was just going to shove him in with the ball if he had to. But, yeah, we got that. And then later on, Garza almost made it a 2-0. How important, though, is this? Because now New York City, as Darren Eales, by the way, El Jefe from Atlanta United, joins us live in studio. For New York City, they're going to have to obviously come at us and throw the kitchen sink. Can we get them on the counter? How do you see this game playing out on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing to say is we're only halfway. So, literally, we're halfway in the tie. And, you know, there's still a lot of football to be played. I do think that the reality is by having that goal away from home and having the lead – does help us because, you know, at some stage, NYC are going to have to attack us. And as we know, the way that we play is particularly at home. If teams actually come after us, it's easier for us to sort of get behind them. And I think, you know, it's great to see Miguel Almiron back out there. You know, he played the 45 minutes, got that under his belt. So, you know, he looked really sharp and really good to say he'd been out. Greg Garza, I thought, had a cracking game, given that that was his first start for, you know, probably 4 months now, if you look back to when he last played. So I think, you know, all over the pitch, we're getting those players back as well, which helps us. But, you know, we've got to have that mentality. We've got to make sure that we go out there and we're focused. But we've put ourselves in a good position, which is all we could have asked for.
Darren, no shots on goal. I thought defensively, you know, David Villa didn't do anything. I thought we just did an excellent job limiting them. And, you know, when you look at that, obviously we'll be back on our pitch and have more room to operate. But I just thought defensively we were excellent in that first match.
Yeah, we really did a great job. I mean, if you think about their record, so that was only the second game they've lost at home all season. You know, they've got used to playing at Yankee Stadium. You know, we'd had the question marks from the week before and the way the intensity that we spoke about in Toronto. So I thought it was a really good bounce back from the players and literally everybody from Brad Guzan, who, although he didn't have any saves to make in terms of shots on target, he was coming out, getting balls, being dominant. Right through to Barker, who came on for 10 minutes and worked his socks off in terms of closing down. I just thought from, you know, every player, including subs, when they came on, they were up there for the fight. And that was a really encouraging thing for us because, you know we have talent. We know we can play when the things are going our way. But to get there in a hostile environment and play the way we did and limit them to no shots was pretty impressive.
And we talked about this before you came in the room about how physical it was. We know they're a little chippy. In the playoffs, it's kind of like not as bad as the NHL because they've tried to clean that up. But we saw New York really doing little sketchy stuff. But our guys responded in kind. Leandro Gonzalez-Pires was going to take that off of anybody. Joseph gives up the body where the bicycle kick is right near his head. And, of course, Tito gets the yellow card. He's like, what did I do? But the guys responded to that kind of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you give a great example there with Joseph Martinez. So sticking his head in there when Villa's got a chance to do an overhead kick. You know, that is the sort of small things that make a difference. And, you know, that sends a message to the whole team when you're, you know, star striker who's heir apparent to MVP. We'll find out if he wins it or not. But the reality is he's putting his head in where it hurts to try and stop them scoring. I think that was sort of encapsulated in that moment, the sort of spirit. And again, great credit to Tata and the coaching staff and all the players to show that bounce back because they really did show, you know, our fans that they really mean business this year.
Darren Eales in studio with us, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. You'll be able to listen to Atlanta United. It is the second leg of this playoff match with NYCFC on Sunday, 5 o'clock kick. What did you make of Miggy's return?
Really good. I mean, because he had been out, obviously, for a number of weeks, and I just thought he did a great job of, you know, tackling, didn't show any sort of reticence in terms of getting stuck in. And look, he gives us that dimension we spoke about it where, you know, that pace that he gives us to stretch us, particularly now going into the home game where there's going to be more space at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you know, that's really going to be helpful for us. And it makes, you know, real dilemmas for NYC as they set their team up because they know if they go for it, which they're going to have to because they have to score and win the game to get through, that's going to leave that space for Miggy to exploit. So hopefully we can do that.
Team President Darren Eales with us, guys, as he joins us every week. And so many times he's nice enough to come up here and hang in studio with us. So right now, fingers crossed, Columbus, who we've had been able to handle this year, including a nice win up there in their place, they take out Red Bulls. And now they got to go to New Jersey. How do you see that one shaking out?
It'll be interesting. I mean, I thought Columbus were really good value for their win, particularly second half. They played well. But we know, you know, New York Red Bulls are a great side. They're going to be at home. I think what it shows in Major League Soccer is that on the day, anybody can win a match. And once we get to the playoffs, I spoke about this before, it is a bit of a crapshoot because you just never know. You might be one sort of odd decision early on, a red card, and suddenly it changes the whole nature, which is why we can't absolutely take anything for granted on Sunday. But, you know, nice for us to get through Sunday and then watch that game relaxed, not really caring of who gets through.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you get a chance to kind of sit back. Coming back home, and this is going to be, you know, last year we had our experience in the knockout round. This is different, right? This feels different. And I think for Atlanta United fans who are making their way down to Mercedes on Sunday, this is what we've worked all season for, right? I mean, this is an opportunity for us to really make a difference with all supporter groups and all the fans coming out and supporting this second leg and knowing we can get to the conference finals by winning.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's going to be a great crowd again. We're going to have another full bowl game. So it's going to be one of those loud and rowdy matches, which is, you know, very exciting. Hopefully we'll have a Falcons win before the game as well. So everyone will be buzzing. And,
right,
you know, it's going to be great. I mean, in terms of, you know, I've spoken about our fans. It is just unbelievable. With this game, we're going to go to over 55,000 average crowd this year, which is then putting us into the top 15 in the world. So it really is remarkable. But I think that's going to be huge for us. The energy in the stadium for our players going into this is gives us a real opportunity to make those conference finals.
Any chance of opening the doors a little earlier? Was that out of your control? We were joking around yesterday, but hey, we'll keep the building open at 1 o'clock. We can all watch the Falcons game, drink some beers, and, you know,
yeah, I mean,
watch
some that's something we'll have to look at. I mean, we have a lot of our fans, as you know, that are going to be tailgating in the car parks, and then you know, the game will be on once you get into the building. So hopefully Falcons will have already wrapped it up anyway by second half.
Right on.
Darren, any thoughts on the Western Conference? Sounders, you know, KC, any thoughts on what's going on there? Are you paying attention to it or not really?
I mean, watching it in the sense of, you know, interested to see how players are doing. I think the reality is, look, the West is even more difficult to predict than the East. You've got Real Salt Lake who sneaked in and they managed a draw against Sporting KC. So I think, you know, it could be anyone that comes out of there. I mean, if you put a gun to my head and had to pick, I still think KC are the best team in the West. But again, it's a paper-thin margin.
We've outscored Columbus 5-1. Red Bulls have outscored us 5-1. So, I mean, yes, we are all Columbus fans then, aren't we, this weekend as well?
Not really. I mean, to be honest, don't really care. Got to get
all
through.
Right.
Got to get through, and you got to play who you've got to play. So,
Eales to fans. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter who we play. Real quick, Jimmy Vance just let me know. 5:30 is the kick, guys, on Sunday. Apparently, that has been updated. So, 5:30 is the kick at Mercedes-Benz for Atlanta United at NYCFC. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're excited about this opportunity. We've been talking about it all week. And listen, you know, I know you guys don't get to decide on the officials, but we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up the fact that we have found out now that Mark Geiger is going to be a part of the officiating crew. Does that bother you at all? I don't know what you can and can't say, but for fans, we're like, everybody's kind of freaking out.
What I would say is Mark Geiger's a very experienced referee. He refereed in the World Cup, and you know the view and the consensus was that he had a good World Cup. So hopefully he performs like that in our game, and we're not talking about him.
And you and I were talking before the show. I think the VAR thing, because it's such a new phenomenon for the hardcore soccer fans, for the casual fan, we're still learning about it. But I think the VAR gods, it was pretty even this year. Maybe we're negative one as far as from a fan standpoint, but I think it all worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing I think I'd say on that, Mike, is VAR is new for every soccer fan because we've never had it before. And so there's a lot of things that we're still trying to learn. And I think the biggest thing is that communication because, you know, I'll use the example again of last week. Yeah, it was the right decision by the letter of the law, but if people don't know what's being decided upon, that's where the confusion and the negativity comes from. And that's something I think FIFA needs to look at much more, especially in this modern age, the ability to actually talk in real time about what decisions are being made. Because right. You can imagine, go back to that game, if straight away there's a voiceover saying we're looking at offside from the corner, everyone knows what it is. It's shown a replay, you see he's offside, and no one comments
like
on
in
it.
The NFL, because the current play is under review and just explain what you're looking at.
Or rugby. Yeah. Rugby does a great job in terms of actually talking with the referee going through it. I just think that, you know, if you take away that mystique, then there's an element there that people at least understand why a decision's made. And then there's not sort of this whole sort of satellite discussion about something that actually could get negated quite quickly.
That's a great point. It's something we've discussed, Aaron, and hopefully we can get that changed moving forward. A reminder, guys, Mike Conte, Jason Longshore, Jimmy Vance out there for Stoppage Time live at Fadeau tonight. It's Fadeau Irish Pub in Buckhead from 7 until 8. It will also be streamed live on 92.9 The Game, and they'll talk all things Atlanta United with special guests included. So make sure you tune in or make your way out there to Fadeau in Buckhead.
And again, guys, after the Falcon game, we're going to have Falcon postgame. It'll take you right up to about 5 o'clock for the now pregame for Atlanta United. So we're your home, United and Falcons. Going to be a busy Sunday for you there, Easy Eels.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And then the Hawks are playing afters, aren't they, in L.A.? So it's a cracking day for Atlanta sports.
How's fantasy team?
We don't talk about that.
Okay.
Darren Eels, everybody. Hey, good luck Sunday. We'll see you there.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.